here it goes. All right, welcome back, fellas. AJ and Jim back for week number two for Fantasy Fools, brought to you by ShopRite in Washington Township. Welcome back, fans. AJ, say welcome.
What's up, Jimmy? How you doing this week, bud?
I'm doing well, my friend. I'm doing well. A lot of action this week.
Yeah, man.
So I need to get right to it.
Rams pulled off the Sammy Watkins trade. You know, I'm not complaining.
Sammy Watkins and also the Birds making a big move, our two teams.
Yeah, right.
Excited to get right into it. Hope you're having a good week. Fat Boy, please cut the music. Welcome back, fellas. We want to thank our fans for last week. A total of 55 views from last week. We're obviously going to try to top that. AJ, how do you feel about that?
Thanks for everybody who's listening, guys. It was a tough first episode making it, but we're only going up from here. Hopefully, more and more you guys listen. Tell your friends.
Only more and more from here. We have a couple good segments today. I'll give you the quick rundown for today's show. Obviously, going to be a little bit longer than the 32 segment we had for the pilot episode. Today, first off, we're going to talk about the two trades. As we just mentioned, Jordan Matthews to the Buffalo Bills, Sammy Watkins to the Rams. Two big trades that have huge fantasy implications. Number two, Zeke Elliott for suspension. Hitting that six-game suspension. Obviously, dipping him into the rankings. And obviously, we're going to get into the rookie running backs, McCaffrey, Fournette, Mixon, Perrine, AJ's rankings, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end. And Fool's Gold for the year, as we mentioned before. But we're going to give you our yearly Fool's Gold for this year. And then our last segment will be Battle of the Backs featuring the Giants and the Saints. Giants with Perkins versus Vereen and the Saints with Ingram versus Peterson. AJ, I'm going to start with you. Matthews to Buffalo. I know he's hurt right now, but how does that help him fantasy-wise? Or does it not help him?
I don't think it helps him at all, man. Comes from a pass-heavy Eagles offense to an offense who's basically centered around that run game with LeSean McCoy, top three back in the league, you could argue, right now. He was Wentz's go-to guy. I mean, he had a great 3 years in Philly playing that slot role. I just don't think they're going to throw enough for him to continue the production that he had in Philly for those 3 years.
Yeah, what did he finish? 250 catches in the 3 years?
Yeah, he had some good numbers. He had numbers. There was a stat going around Twitter about his first 3 years, but, I mean, he didn't reach 1,000 yards in any of the 3 years, so.
Now, he got injured the first day of practice, I've seen, with Buffalo, a chip fracture in his chest. Do you think that's just going to linger in the preseason, or do you think that's going to impact him come week one for the regular season?
They're just going to shut him down, man. You know that. They ain't going to let him practice. He ain't even going to be playing. They'll shut him down and get him healthy. He'll probably be out there week one ready to go.
Yeah, problem with Matthews and with me is, and I think we can both agree with this, is he's definitely not a number one.
Oh, I agree.
He's definitely not
but
number one.
I think, man, I mean, I like him as a receiver. I know he's getting a bad rep around here in Philly. But, I mean, is you count him as a number two guy? They don't really have a number one there yet. They just traded it to the Rams. But, I mean, you get a one guy there, put him in the slot. I mean, you got a little something there.
Yeah. Especially with McDermott there, I think they're going to be that, you know, that run and play defense kind of team. I mean, you have, obviously, LeSean McCoy coming off those 13 touchdowns. And I'm telling you, I just don't see the passing game soaring. I actually think this hurts Tyrod Taylor tremendously. I'm losing Robert Woods and Sammy Watkins because I think Sammy Watkins is one of those guys that can have a bounce back year.
Well, one of the things about that is I don't expect the Bills to be any good this year. So the one thing going in the positive direction for Jordan Matthews right now is, you know, if the Bills suck, they're going to be behind in a lot of games throwing the ball. And, you know, he runs a lot of those short routes where if they can't block for Tyrod Taylor, he'll be the nice little check down guy there. But he's definitely not going to be able to play outside for them.
Yeah, I agree. And that's basically all he's going to be, and I think that's where he's going to get his, you know, 75 to 90 catches this year if he stays healthy.
Yeah, I agree.
With, you know, barely hitting 1,000 yards.
Yeah, if he hits, that would be a career high for him.
Yeah, exactly. I think he's going to be more towards that 850 to 9.
Yeah, which is normally where he's normally around.
Exactly. So, your boy, you actually get some impact to offense with this trade and not a 5'9 wide receiver in Tavon Austin. How do you feel about Sammy?
I'm just going to call it what it is, man. He's the best receiver the Rams have had since probably 05, 06, since Torrey Holt was there. I mean, the guy's an absolute stud. Everyone knows he's a stud, but his production on the field isn't to worry. Everyone knows to worry is his foot problems. He's been hurt, can't get on the field. I mean, he played 13 games and 16 games his first two seasons. He played 8 last year. I mean, you just got to hope the guy can stay healthy and maybe we have something there. But, I mean, that's it, man. His health. That's the only thing that's concerning me about it right now.
Yeah, it's kind of scary with feet. It's like kind of what feet injury in basketball players, but feet injury in receivers.
Yeah, I mean, he's...
Even Julio. I mean, he's had foot injuries.
Sammy Watkins came out and said he's 100% healthy, but of course he's going to say that after a reporter asked him. I mean, he's not going to say, oh, I'm still a little hurt.
And I'm a firm believer in you leave a place like Buffalo, it's pretty gloomy.
You
go into the Sunshine State like L.A.
Man, but you're not his boy Robert Woods, right?
Exactly. It could rejuvenate. New scene helps people sometimes.
Yeah, let's hope.
So the big one, all right, and we've discussed this off air as well. You have a guy in Zeke Elliott, again, suspended 6 games for his off-the-field actions. Obviously, we're not going to get into the actual off-the-field actions. But a guy who's dropping from... an ADP of 3 all the way to 22 to 24 just in the recent news. Do you think the suspension holds up at 6 games or reduces? And 2, where are you taking this guy if he's suspended 4 games and suspended 6 games?
Yeah, speaking of dropping in rankings, he dropped 7 spots in my rankings from 3 to I think I have him at 10 or 11. I don't think it stays at 6, but I don't think it comes down to anything less than 4. Maybe 3 if he's lucky, but I don't see it coming down to anything less than 4. And I mean, where you're taking him, it all differs depending on your team. I mean, you could be in desperate need for a running back in the second round because, especially this year, running backs, man, at one point there's running backs there, and the next point they're all gone. I mean, they just completely fall off at a point this year. And if you're one of these guys who have, like, the first overall pick in a redraft league, and you're taking like Tone, if you want to take Tone over Bell or whatever you want to do, maybe grab Zeke on that swing on the way back in the second and third, and just hoping if you're having a draft before the appeal, hoping it comes down. Because I mean, he's a top 5 running back, obviously, of the games that he plays in.
I'm with you, especially in a redraft. I mean, you're going to get a top tier guy in that first round anyway. If you have 1 and 1, 2, 3, or 1 through 5, and you're going to be able to get him back on the 7th.
Exactly. Maybe start your team with, like, Tone Zeke, Le'Veon Bell Zeke, David Johnson Zeke. I mean, you can't really complain there.
Even Mike Evans Zeke in a PPR. I'm still taking it any day of the week. And especially in our league, with the keepers, even if he slips back to the back of the first round, I think maybe...
Yeah,
if it's 4 games, I'm taking it.
Yeah,
I'm going to miss him 5 weeks.
Yeah. But like I said, when he plays, you're getting top 5 production out of him.
Exactly. So, I mean... I seen the stat today. He was over 20 points, 15 out of 16 games, which is insane. And PPR, and half point PPR,
that's
insane.
Crazy.
It's
that's
insane,
especially for a rookie.
And you know what that? And that's what Le'Veon. Le'Veon was 20, 13 out of 16 games last year for our league in the half point PPR. So it's where, it's a guy you're like, man, thank you. I'm that late. I'm taking.
Why not? It's worth the risk.
It's worth the risk. Can we talk about that? So moving on, because I'm with you, actually. I'm sorry, real quick. I'm with you. I think it goes down to 4 games.
Yeah.
I think it'd be just based off the history of the league, that's what they do.
Let's hope it stays at 4, because the Rams get the Cowboys week 4. I don't want Zeke coming back after a 3-game suspension.
And that's another thing. Even if he's suspended. And that's what kills it, because if he's suspended, you're not going back until week 8.
Yeah, I mean, that's really tough.
With the 6 games.
You can survive, man. I mean, and he come back, gives your team that piece to get over the hump at the end of the season, man.
Yeah.
You just got to hope your team can, like, kind of stay afloat until he gets back.
Exactly. And he only misses, if he suspended those 6 games, he only misses 5 division. He only misses 1 division game.
I didn't even know that.
So they have a tough back end of the schedule. All right, so moving on. All right, we're going to go with the 3 rookie running backs. We're going to talk about a little bit how they did in the preseason this past week, the first preseason game. With McCaffrey, Fournette, Mixon, and Perrine. All right, Perrine obviously had a little bit of a rough outing for his first.
Did you say with Dalvin Cook too?
Oh, Dalvin Cook as well.
Yeah.
Sorry, Dalvin Cook as well. Left him off mine. So, what are your thoughts on the eye test of McCaffrey?
I mean, he looked pretty good, man. I mean, he didn't have any catches.
To
start the game, but I mean, they weren't going to use him that much. He had 7 carries for 33 yards. Yeah, had trouble getting it going, but he had this one nice run where I think they ran like a counter, and he just followed the guard up in the hole, showed a lot of patience. It got tripped up, almost stayed on his feet, ended up going to the ground. He looked frustrated, he couldn't stay up. But I mean, the way that offense is with set up with Cam, he's going to get his touches, man. He just is. I think I wasn't very high on him coming out, but if they use him right, he can be a deadly weapon for them, I think.
Yeah, and I agree. And I think he's going to be a PPR guy. I mean, I know he had zero catches, but I think it's going to be a PPR.
A lot of those dunk downs from Cam.
A lot of those dunk downs. And he's, and like we talked about last segment, or last episode, Cam got beat up last year. And I know that I know the motto this year is to get rid of that ball as quickly as possible. Unless he's running it, of course.
Well, of course. And if their line's holding up, he might start stretching the field. Because, I mean, Kelvin Benjamin made a really nice catch on their game from Derek Anderson at the back of the end zone. But, I mean, the problem with Cam is he tends to be a little inaccurate sometimes, but that line can hold up. You know Cam's going to let it rip, man. Yeah. You know he is.
And I was a little skeptical about his size. You know, he's 6 foot, 203 pounds, but he looked pretty husky out there, and I'll give him that.
He ain't going to be running between the trenches like that a lot, though, man. He's more of like an elusive guy. They want to get him out in space more than they do running him in between the tackles.
Yeah, definitely a lot of read options stretch.
Man. Oh, yeah.
If any, like I said, we think he's going to be more of a pass catcher than he is getting the ball.
When they're running, Jay Stu's getting that ball, I think, a lot of the time.
Exactly. And I'm looking at this offensive line. I'm looking at the 11th ranked offensive line coming out last year. Top 10 and least amount of negative runs.
It makes you pretty confident when you pick them. I mean, you can give that partly to Jay Stu, though. You know, he's a big back. He ain't going down easy, man. He makes contact. He's one of these guys that are just going to fall forward for a couple yards if you even need him to.
Yeah.
So
he's going to be a nice spell, and I think it's going to be one of those situations where they play the hot hand.
Like the little D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart back in the day. Exactly. And they did that, yep.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. All right, my boy. Yeah, my. I was a big fan of Joe Mixon, which the Eagles got him. Or how did he pass the eye test for you?
I mean, he looked pretty elusive, man. He looked like he belonged out there. I mean, like we said last week, the talent wasn't an issue with him. It was the off-the-field issues. They gave him 6 carries for 31 yards. He had 1 catch for 11 yards. I mean, it's not rocket science here. He's getting this job, whether it's week 3, week 6, week 9. It's by some point, Joe Mixon will be the starting running back and be getting the feature back role for the Cincinnati Bengals. I said it last week. I'm going to say it again. Not a believer in Gio Bernard and Jeremy Hill. I'm just not. And I believe in Joe Mixon, man. He showed me exactly what I thought I was going to say this week.
Yeah, and I don't want to jump the gun here because I'm an Eagles fan and I can do that. But I said it coming out of his drafts. He doesn't look that fast, but he is fast, and that's how Le'Veon came in. Last year. I mean, he's just a smooth runner. He runs real wide, and he can catch the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think he gets enough credit as a pass catcher. Who did you know he was the only player the last 2 years in college football, the Power 5 conferences, to have 1,000-yard rush and 500 receiving?
Really?
McCaffrey got hurt last year.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't get enough credit for pass catching. And I'm looking at him, 7 touches for a total of 42 yards. With the 28th ranked offensive line coming into this year because they lost Whitworth, obviously.
Big game for Rams. Yep,
and Leitler. And I think he's going to improve this 21st ranked yards per carry team because I think the running back's that much better.
Yeah, and I mean,
I think by week 5 at the latest.
He's getting the job at some point.
Exactly. I'm with him. I think by week 5 at the latest they're going to figure
it out. Yeah, I agree.
But what is the highest you're taking a guy like this? Because I'm guessing you're going to take him at... He's looking at an RB2, RB3 slash flex, correct?
Yeah, I think he's... I mean, earlier to start on, he's obviously an RB3 slash flex guy. By the end of the year, I can see this guy being a high-end 2, maybe a RB1 some weeks. Like I said, it just depends on if you feel like you have the depth to wait for this guy, to draft this guy earlier than his ADP, to wait for him to get back. I mean, not to wait for him to get back, to wait for him to get the job. I mean, unless some dude comes out before camp that just says, look, like, he's just a guy. You got to wait on him a little bit. You can't overtake him with 3 guys there right now.
Yeah. And right now, he's, as far as average draft position, he's the first rookie running back off the board.
Which is deserving.
It's just deserving. And he's pretty high. At eight, his average draft position's 18. And I'm looking at this guy, and Zeke kind of changed the game last year. Especially in our league. I mean, what did he go, 5th overall in our league last year?
6.
6?
Yeah, 6. Right.
Well, I mean, did you ever think a rookie running back would be going 6th overall in a fantasy league?
No.
Exactly, especially ours, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And he proved worthy.
He definitely proved worthy, man.
Exactly.
He was a stud.
And that's what I'm saying. I mean, can Mixon be that dominant from weeks 5 on? when he gets the full load?
Well, no, because of two reasons. I don't think he's as good as Zeke, and they don't have that Dallas offensive line in Cincinnati, man. As good as they are, I mean, as good as, like, Dallas was, Cincinnati just can't come close to that. Everyone knows that.
And I'll even piggyback on that, because they're playing the Steelers twice, playing the Ravens twice. Yeah. And even the Browns front seven's got better.
Yeah, the Browns, man, they made some nice moves. If Sean Kizer could pan out, who knows where he takes them.
Yeah, and I never thought I would be saying the Browns might be a problem.
Right.
But, hey, times have changed, Greg. Times have changed. All right, so moving on from Joe Mixon. All right, we mentioned Mixon. We mentioned McCaffrey. What were your thoughts on Fournette?
I mean, he looked like the real deal. He's getting his carries. He's got a touchdown, which is nice to see. He didn't have any catches.
Goal line carries, well, yeah.
Yeah, he didn't have any catches, but no one's really expected him to have that many catches. I really think if you're taking a rookie running back, he's the first one you take this year, and just hope that he, that offense, he doesn't just get lost in that offense with that awful passing game. Blake Bortles, man, you just never know what that offense is going to look like with him sitting back there as quarterback. The offensive line, they aren't that great either. But as long as Bortles can fire those passes to Hearns and Robinson, he should have a little bit of room. But that's the question, is Bortles. I mean, if they're stacking eight in the box, it's going to be like he was in college all over again, where he against Alabama, where he has nowhere to go.
Yeah, and we'll talk about A-Rob later on. All right, if he could be one of those guys that has a bounce back year. And I recant what I said earlier. I said Mixon was the first rookie average coming off. Fournette. I apologize. Yeah. It was Leonard. I can't believe that slipped my mind, but I apologize. I know the curtain's over there rolling in his grave. But with Leonard, and I still think, even with this on the same subject, I still think Mixon can hop Fournette this year, just because I think the team's way better.
Oh, yeah.
And even though they're coming off, I think, a 5-1 season, the Bengals, I think they're a lot better than what they played last year.
Well, and another reason why I can jump him is, like I said, Leonard Fournette isn't going to be getting these catches. If Joe Mixon wins this role, he's going to be the receiving back, too. He doesn't have Yeldon there taking a lot of his receptions, which is going to count for a lot of his value. I mean, Leonard Fournette, he's kind of like one of these guys who is going to be, might be very touchdown dependent this year, because he ain't going to have 100 yards every game. You're going to have to hope he scores touchdowns. That's where the majority of his points are going to come from.
Yeah, I know. I'm not totally sold on Fournette, and he's also had an injury. What was this, the foot?
Yeah.
The foot, which I think it's just very minor, but still it's not a good sign.
Yeah, not this early.
Not this early. So moving on to Perrine. It's Maja Perrine. What are your thoughts on him? He had a rough day. Real quick, I'll read off his stat line. A fumble, a missed blitz pickup, and a drop ball.
I mean,
three things you don't want to do in your first preseason game.
Yeah, I mean, the coaches are coming out basically telling everybody he's in the doghouse right now, saying he's really far behind Rob Kelly. That could just be them being really hard on the guys so he works harder at, you know, protecting the ball and pass blocking, studies more so he pass blocks better. But, I mean, the dude had a 2.5 yards per carry average this week, man. I mean, that's not – he had possibly the worst week you want to have for someone who's being hyped up as much as he was coming into this.
It's almost as bad to say as – if this guy was an undrafted rookie, he probably would have got cut this week.
Yeah. I mean,
that's as bad as the stat line as you're going to
get.
Yeah,
I agree, man. I agree. Especially, like, all the hype he's been generating, because I know there's not a lot of Rob Kelly believers out there. But, I mean, as long as this guy keeps...
But you are one of them.
Yeah, I'm a little Rob Kelly believer here. We'll get into that later, though.
You got a little Rob Kelly bromance brewing over there. All right, he was your boy last year. I know that for a fact. All right, so that's going to be interesting to see, because I think he's going to be one of those guys, Perrine, because you know the Redskins happened with Alf when he was running the ball 20 times again there. He'd get gassed on the goal line.
Yeah.
Now, Redskins are known to gas on the goal line.
Yeah, it's tough, man. It's going to be, I mean, especially even if Fat Rob gets a job taken, you know, that big body down to the goal line always helps, man. He's going to be, especially only if he's getting those carries inside the five, that still kills Perrine's value.
All right, so that ends our rookie.
Cooks.
Oh, I'm sorry, we have Dalvin Cook. I'm sorry, that's right, one more. Dalvin Cook. AJ, what are your thoughts on Dalvin Cook and his first performance?
I mean, he caught the ball well. He had four catches for 30 receiving yards. He's playing with the, he only had five rushes for 13 yards, but he's playing with Mr. Checkdown Charlie and Sam Bradford. So there might be plenty of opportunities for him to catch those checkdowns, especially if Latavius Murray doesn't come back soon.
Yeah.
Because he's been hurt, and you know, if he's not there, Dalvin Cook's basically there by himself.
Yeah, especially with Zimmer there. He's a performance guy. If you're performing, you're staying in. He's been like that with his defenses. He's been like that in Cincinnati. And I can see definitely Dalvin Cook playing a huge role. And I just think as long as he can hold on to the football, he's going to be just fine. It's just minor things you have to fix tweak here and there.
It might get a little little weird if, like I said, if Latavius Murray comes back healthy, he might see a little competition. But from what they're saying about Latavius, man, it don't look like he's coming back anytime soon. He might be back in the regular season, but I don't think he's coming back in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, especially, like, you know, just what you said. If Murray misses 1 or 2 weeks, and Cook's
has a good RB2. 2 weeks. RB2.
Yeah, he's an RB2. Definitely. Easily. Because they're going to run the ball. And Zimmer wants to run the ball.
And I mean,
been like that. He's always been like that.
4 catches for 30 yards is actually really good in your first game. So
yeah, it's really, it's impressive. And the kick and move, the kick and ball.
He looked good. He showed all that off in college.
A ton of upside. And like you said, could be a nice dark horse right out of the gate. You could definitely see that being a possibility. All right. So that ends our rookie segment. Before we move on to AJ's rankings, our quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end, don't forget you're listening to the Fantasy Fools with Jim McCabe and AJ Ferrelli. All right, don't forget to check us out on Facebook. It's a Facebook group as well, Fantasy Fools, and also on Twitter
at
AJ.
Fantasy_Fools, guys.
Fantasy_Fools. Don't forget to subscribe on Facebook and also to follow us on Twitter. We also have live feed coming sometime in the next couple of weeks, and also you'll be introduced to Tommy Teaser.
Two weeks.
All right, the Tuesday before college football, Tommy Teaser will be joining us for a nice little 10-minute visit on his picks for the week in college football, because we did mention we are going to have college football in here throughout the year as well. All right, so you get introduced to Tommy Teaser, and you'll also be able to follow him on Twitter. We'll have more details about that come up in 2 weeks. So moving on to AJ's rankings, because last week we ran down mine, just quarterback and running back. Like I said, this is going to change throughout camp. I mean, battles are going to be won. With the Zeke suspensions, I was going to shake up your draft. It's definitely shaking up our draft already before it even started. And AJ, kick it off with your quarterback rankings.
All right, first two guys, I mean, the obvious two guys, A-Rod and the GOAT, Tom. I mean, Aaron Rodgers had a ridiculous year last year, man. 40 TDs, 7 interceptions only. Over 4,400 yards and the 4 rushing touchdowns. I mean, this guy just does it all, man. And Tom Brady, I mean, he's getting his boy back. He's non-suspended this year. He's getting his boy back, Gronk. He got the big addition, which I think is going to be huge for them, and Brandon Cooks. I mean, how are you going to cover Edelman, Cooks, and Gronk, man? I mean,
and you can't forget Dwayne Allen.
Yeah, I forgot about Dwayne Allen.
You know how they love those 2 tight ends.
Yeah, yeah, which they're going to be tough, man. Even if Gronk goes down, I mean, Tom Brady showed you last year that he's still a top 2 fantasy quarterback in the league.
I agree. 40 years old, a top 2 fantasy quarterback in the league. It's unbelievable.
It's crazy. It's crazy, man.
And just to go off Rodgers, because I'm going to praise the man for a little bit. 40 touchdowns, 7 interceptions.
Ridiculous,
it's
man.
It's laughable, dude. It's
is. Especially with that new addition, Martellus Bennett there. They got that's a big upgrade from Jared Cook. So
huge upgrade. Yeah. When was the last time he had a great tight end? I mean, are these tight ends?
Jermichael Finley.
And in my opinion, Martellus Bennett is double the player Jermichael Finley is.
I mean, Jermichael Finley was really good, but Martellus Bennett.
I'm talking skill-based.
Oh, yeah. He's a very solid tight end, Martellus Bennett. I agree.
Yeah. Especially as a one to compliment Devontae Adams and Jordy Nelson. I mean, I don't see that slowing down any bit.
No, I still think,
especially now they have a true pass catcher playing running back, Ty Montgomery. I mean, it's gonna be the gun show for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, of course. Then, who knows? Maybe Randall Cobb gets back on track this year. Never know with that. And all right, so on my next guys, I got 3, 4, and 5. I know this is good. Number 5 is gonna shock a lot of people, but I got Breeze, Brian, and then I got Kirk Cousins actually coming in at number 5.
Kirk Cousins. And that's actually where you finished last year.
Yeah,
top 5 quarterback last year.
I mean, dude, this guy, he only threw 25 touchdowns, but he had 4,900 yards throwing with 4 rushing touchdowns. I mean, that helps, man. That's an extra 20. Some of those games, he can win you with those rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, 606 attempts will definitely do that for you. At least, I mean, give you the opportunity to get that yards. I mean, 5,000 yards is very impressive.
I mean, you know he's going to throw. Jay Gruden loves throwing the ball, man. That's no secret. The thing that does kind of hurt him is the loss of DeSean Jackson. But if Josh Doctson, who's coming in, who's been hurt, but they're saying he's coming in, he looks like he's finally getting ready to get on the field. I mean, he could take over that DeSean role for them. with him, Crowder. Don't forget, they just got Terrell Pryor from Cleveland, who, I mean, had over 1,000 yards in Cleveland last year, which is, like, unheard of.
I'm with you on this, and I was saying this earlier at work, actually, believe it or not. I think Crowder is Deshaun. I mean, I think Crowder could be Deshaun. He's just as quick. And I definitely think Terrell Pryor could be Pierre Garçon.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think it only I think
well, Terrell Pryor, he's a better receiver than Pierre Garçon.
I agree, pure receiver, and it's funny because he's a quarterback. But I think it comes down to Jordan Reed. If Jordan Reed can stay out, I think his touchdowns increase. I think that's what fluctuates is the touchdowns.
I mean, 25 touchdowns, 12 interceptions isn't all that great. But I mean, dude, like you said, if Jordan Reed stays healthy for them, dude, he could have 35 touchdowns, which, I mean, for where he's going right now, he's ranked outside the top 10 in a lot of places, which is, like, kind of shocking for me.
And it's insane because you see all those yards. You see almost 5,000 yards, and you know, you're looking at Breeze, who only had 200 yards more than him, and he had 12 more touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean,
so, you know, what's that tell you?
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
but they do run the ball in the red zone. I'll give them that.
Yeah, I'm with you, dude. But like Jordan Reed, if he's there, he gives them that extra body in the red zone that they can run plays to. And I mean, if Jordan Reed is healthy, you know, his stock just keeps going up. Matt Ryan, I have him ranked 4. He threw over 5,000 yards last year. I don't know how Kyle Shanahan leaving is going to affect him. But Matt Ryan's a stud. He's got studs all around him. I mean, you just got to – this guy's easy top 5. Yeah. He stays
healthy. I you can't agree more.
The only reason he wouldn't be top 5 is if, God forbid, something happens to Julio.
Which could happen.
It can happen to anybody.
Yeah, it could happen to anybody. But, you know, with Taylor Gabriel still being there, you know, they're going to be able to spread the field. And you still got the two great backs, and Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman. And they're, you know, I don't see them slowing down anytime soon. And, you know, Matt Ryan's coming off an MVP season, but I don't see him slowing down.
No, me neither. Best offense in the NFC. Yeah. Definitely.
Great.
So, all right. So
get into the fishy area now. Right?
Yeah, all right. So I got... I'm going to give you my 6 and 7 right now. I'll give you. I have Winston, and then I have Mariota. I think Winston. I said this last week. Takes the jump this year into the elite. You could quote unquote elite category of fantasy. Not with the top 3 guys, 4 guys, but I mean top 5 still elite for me. Look, he's got weapons galore this year. I mean, the kid's an absolute stud. There's no doubt. Just got to hope everyone stays healthy. Mike Evans building off of what he did last year. Deshaun coming in, helping the coverage off of Mike Evans should help him a lot. O.J. Howard, Cameron Brate, you know, they're loaded. And Mariota, I mean, I really do like Corey Davis. I like that move. They're going out and getting him weapons. People keep forgetting about this Derek Decker signing they have, who's been probably one of the most underrated receivers in the league for the last, like, 3-4 years. He's got to stay healthy too, because everyone knows he's injury prone. People are talking about Tywan Taylor right now for them, saying he's playing great. So I mean, Mariota's got weapons, man. He's still got his boy Delaney. They still got the run game. I'm just a Mariota believer, man. He threw 26 touchdowns, 9 picks last year. I could see him jumping into the 30s easily this year, and he only had 2 rushing touchdowns, so that could easily jump as well.
Yeah, and they continue to improve the offensive line with Mariota. I mean, Taylor Lewan, Jack Conklin, they're all pro tackles. I mean. It, like you said, strictly Mariota, and I, you know, even when we talk to Christian, because he's a Titans fan, it comes down to that man can stay healthy. And that's what it comes down to. And if he can stay healthy, he can run that offense to perfection. And when you're talking about Winston, I think it's such a big part, especially with young quarterbacks, is are they becoming leaders? Are they taking charge? And even if you watch Hard Knocks, it sounds silly, but he's taking control of that team. That's a good sign, especially with all the weapons they have around them. They have a real chance to give Atlanta a run for their money for this division this year.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know much about their defense, to be honest with you. And I still like Atlanta to win that division, but I definitely see the Tampa Bay making that wild card spot, at least one of them.
Well, with their defense, they have Levante David, all-pro linebacker.
Jerome McCoy,
Jerome McCoy, all-pro defense line. And Vernon Hargraves has looked like a true shutdown corner this year. He's been getting more and more confident as camp is going on, and that's a real good sign for them. So if you have a guy that can shut down, you know,
well, you're not going to
shut down Julio. You're not going to shut him down, but
like at least contain him a little bit.
Contain him a little bit.
Yeah,
exactly. Especially if you're going to start forming a true number one corner, that's a good sign. So
Okay, so I got 8, 9, 10 coming up here.
8, 9, 10.
I have Roethlisberger right behind Winston at 8. His stats, when he averages 75 more throwing yards when Martavius Bryant is there.
And that's a crazy stat. Say that again, AJ.
75 more yards when Martavius Bryant plays in games that Martavius Bryant plays. I mean, that's ridiculous.
He's reinstated, correct?
I don't think he is. He officially?
I think it's temporary.
Okay, yeah.
It's temporarily reinstated.
I mean, if he's back, man, Big Ben's going to have a huge year, obviously, with Tone, Martavius Bryant. You got Le'Veon, him still checking it down to Le'Veon. I mean, look, Big Ben is Big Ben.
They just drafted Juju.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah. The thing about Big Ben is you know he's going to miss his one or two or three games. But if Martavius can wise up and doesn't get suspended or doesn't get hurt and nobody gets hurt, he'll be back in that elite. He'll be back, not in the elite range, but he'll be right outside of it. Russell Wilson, I think the rushing comes back a little bit this year. I think they're going to try to get back to that Super Bowl formula a little bit. I think they're going to be using him in a lot of read options. I am a little worried about him, how much they're going to throw. But he only threw 21 touchdowns last year. But, I mean, he's got more chemistry with everybody. Paul Richardson, Jimmy Graham started to do very well at the end of last year. And, yeah, the Seahawks are the Seahawks, man. They're gonna win their games. And Russell Wilson, I mean, he's a stud. But it just depends on how much they're going to let him throw. You know what I mean?
Oh, exactly. I'm with you on that. And this is just how strong of a second half of the year Russell Wilson had last year from week 9 on. So I'm going to read you his 1 through 8. There's a bye in there. But his 1 through 8 per game. 11.9, 11.6, 14. Sprinkles a 23.9 in there. Then goes 11.5, 9.7, 9.7. After that, he had 5 games over 20 points.
Wow.
4 of them over 25.
Wow.
So that's what tipped him back into the top 10. We discussed that last week about him having a slow start. Also, during that 8-week stretch in the beginning of the season, he was hurt. He was banged up. He got banged up the first game against Miami.
He was wearing that brace on his ankle. It was screwing his mobility, and everyone knows all these crazy throws Russell Wilson could make when he's out of the pocket. So
exactly, and especially the run game was a mess the first 8 weeks. And we don't think that's going to be an issue this year, especially with Procise, Lacy, and even Rawls sprinkled in there. I'm with you on that as well, that they're going to go back to the running ways.
Yeah, if Russell Wilson can get back to those rushing yards, he can get back into that. Maybe he makes that jump back into the top 5 where he was a couple of years ago. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. And then especially with Roethlisberger. I'm with you. And again, another guy who's got to stay healthy.
Yeah, I mean, you know he's going to miss his share of games.
He's going to miss his 1-2 games. You know that Landry Jones spot.
Yeah, but, I mean, quarterbacks are so deep this year, you can pick up anybody, throw them in there. Just play matchups. So, and then the guy had 10 was Luck. I know I have him a little low, but, I mean, there's really nothing else to say here. It's just because of his injury concern. If this guy stays healthy, he jumps back into the top 5 for you easily. He's got Moncrief, Doyle, T.Y. He's got everybody, dude. They're really stacked on offense. And it's just not a matter of if he can play. It's a matter of if he can stay healthy, man. I mean, this injury that he has, nobody knows what's going on. There's report chain he's not going to be back week one. There's report chain he's going to be there week one. There's report chain he's going on the pup. It's just all over the place, man. This ranking can easily change from him at 10. I just have him there now because I don't know when he's going to come back.
Yeah, and it's crazy because as a quarterback, I mean, his average, I mean, he's the 6th ranked quarterback on Fantasy Pros, and it's a huge risk. It's a huge risk taking him, especially over the likes of Kirk Cousins, Mariota, Winston, and even Newton and Roethlisberger, because we think Newton improves from that. You know, as you mentioned last week, that was 19 touchdowns, because I don't think he can get any worse than that as far as last year with him. But I'm with you. I think I'm staying away from him. I think I'm going to recommend that you stay away from him.
Yeah,
until proven otherwise.
Unless some breaking news comes out that says this guy's healthy, guys, I'd stay away.
As of today, 8/16, 2017.
Yeah.
Until the preseason's over and you see more. Well, until your draft, at least. But continue.
Okay, I got my next. I'm just going to go 11 to 15.
Yeah, let's finish it off.
All right, I got Rivers at 11, who finished 6th last year. A lot of people don't even know that he finished 6th overall quarterback. I mean, Rivers is one of these guys that no one even, like, pays attention to, dude. He just, every year, the man just puts up those numbers, man. I mean, the Mike Williams loss does hurt, But he's got a healthy Keenan now. He's got a good young tight end who I know a lot of people like in Hunter Henry, but I'm not ready to write Gates off, man. I mean, this guy just never. He scored a touchdown in the preseason game this week. I'm just never ready to write this guy off. Tyrell Williams helps him a lot. He came on very strong last year, Tyrell Williams. I really like him. I know Mike Evans. I know Mike Williams hurts, but I like Rivers, man. I really think he has another good year. I have 12, I have Newton. 13, I have Derek Carr. 14, I have Stafford. 15, I have Dak.
Yeah, 15. Now, I know how I feel about Dak. especially with Dak. Especially if this suspension is going to be... I think, like you said, we think it's going to be at least four games. I think it plays a huge role. Even though I have a lot of confidence in Alf and even Darren McFadden to run behind the offense line.
Well, yeah, it looked like McFadden got that job. He was getting all the work when the first team was in.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know that guy could very
well change. Yeah, he's old. So.
Exactly. And Alfie even looked good with the very limited time he got last year. But with Dak, okay, I don't see it. I think the more the weight's going to be on his shoulders, that offensive line did get a little bit older.
They lost Doug Free.
They lost Doug Free.
And they lost Fred. Did they lose Fred? I forget who else they lost. But I mean. Got on the podcast, guys, I was a big Dak guy last year. I had him in fantasy. He did great for me. I mean, he was over like 18 points a game. The thing about Dak is he had six rushing touchdowns last year. I don't see him doing that again.
And that saves weeks.
Yeah. That saves
seasons.
Dude, he there would be some games where he was at like 11 or 12 and he would get that rushing touchdown. All of a sudden he'd be at 20. Yeah. You know what I mean? And like you said, that suspension to Zeke absolutely kills him. He was so efficient off the play action last year. And, you know, he's going to be asked to do a lot more than he was last year without Zeke there. And nobody, I mean, he was really accurate, but nobody knows how that's going to affect him with the, like you said, getting all the throwing a lot more. I mean, he's going to be looking for Dez a lot, which I think helps Dez. But I don't know if this guy's going to be able to take care of the ball game with those four interceptions last year, which is just a great number for a rookie.
And this is a perfect example. Week 12 against Washington, 195 yards, a touchdown. How many points do you think he finished with?
That was his Washington game, right? Yeah, that was the Thanksgiving game?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had him that game. He got like 19 or something, right?
Yeah, 21 points.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, standard league, that's 8 points.
Yeah, which you don't want.
Without the run.
Yeah, which you don't want. Yeah, it's terrible.
Exactly, and he finishes with 21.7. So if you have that benefit with him, but can he sustain the running? Can he sustain the rushing touchdowns?
He's not going to score six rushing touchdowns again.
You think he's around that 3-4 still? Like 3-4 touchdowns?
I don't know. Yeah, I give him 3 or 4. Yeah, they're still going to run those read options on the goal line.
And where does his interceptions end up? Because it's going to be more than the 4 from last.
Yeah, it's probably going to be around like 10, 11. I'm not going to give a specific number. It's definitely going to be plus 10.
Yeah. So with that, sure. with that alone, I can still see him around the same amount of yards, 3,500 to 4,000.
Agreed.
And. With that being said, I mean, I see him dropping outside. You know, I can see him going around that 10-11 if he stays consistent. Because his yards were pretty consistent. A couple 250. I mean, most of his games were over 250 to 300 yards.
I mean, yeah, man. I mean,
you got guys like Dez and Cole Beasley. It's gonna happen.
And you can't. I mean, Witten's old, but I mean, he relied on him a lot. Like I said, a lot of his stats came out play action, man, and with Darren McFadden, they ain't going to be respecting that run nearly as much as Darryl Zeke and that hole in the back. You know that.
Absolutely
not. So. All right. All right, so we'll move on to my running backs now. I actually have Bell first over DJ. Now, I know that's like a lot of people can like, you can pretty much go either way with this. Look, Bell didn't play the last game last year. He didn't play week 17. He missed the first 3. This guy had 75 catches in 12 games. 75 catches in 12 games. He had 322 attempts on the ground for 1,600 yards and 15 TDs, averaging 5 yards per carry. That's ridiculous, dude. And you know the Steelers, dude. They go as Le'Veon Bell goes. It's not as Tone goes. It's not as Big Ben goes. It's how Le'Veon Bell goes. The thing that makes David Johnson... I think it might be a little bit more valuable this year is because they have nobody. I mean, they have Fitz, but everyone's predicting a Fitz. A lot of people are picking a Fitz regression this year. And this, I mean, David Johnson had 80 catches last year for over 800 yards. He had 200, he had over 290 carries, I think, with 1,200 yards, 4.2 yards per game. He had 16 rushing touchdowns, man. I mean, that's going to be hard to repeat, the 16 rushing touchdowns. But like I said, man, this guy's going to be their bell cow, man. He's going to see the ball way more than anybody else in the league, which is why everyone, mostly everyone, has him won. I just think Bell's a better player, to be honest. That's all.
I'm gonna jump in on David Johnson, because I'm with you. They're gonna feed this man. I mean, they are. I mean, because you have a guy in Carson Palmer coming off an awful year. They want 2015 Palmer back, and the way to get that is to protect him.
Yeah, I agree.
And, you know, they're gonna treat him like as if a rookie's in there, and they're gonna throw as least as possible. They're gonna try to run the ball, but the 80 catches, 120 targets as a running back.
Yeah, unheard of. Dude.
It's unheard of.
Unheard of.
Unheard of.
It's the craziest part about Bell, dude. He had the 75 catches in 12 games, man. These two are just light years ahead of it. They're in the league of their own, man.
Look at 373 touches for David Johnson.
Listen, guys, if you get like one in any draft and these two guys are on the board, don't even think about Tony. You got to take one of these guys.
It's unbelievable. 40 difference between his targets and receptions. Because he could have easily touched the ball close to 400 times last year.
Yeah, I mean, he could easily do it again this year.
Yeah.
Touch around there.
Yeah. And if Le'Veon could play the full season, the crazy part is he can jump in.
Dude, Le'Veon could be one of these 1,000 guys if he plays the whole season. I mean, he only, on the 75 catches, he only had 600 receiving yards. But, I mean, if there's anybody, if there's any guys who can do the 1,000 again, it's one of these two. For sure.
All
right.
So, obviously, the two.
Yeah.
The two to pick from.
Okay, so three. I had Zeke here, but he got bumped down because of the suspension, obviously. My top five rounds out with Shady at three, Freeman at four. I was flopping Freeman and Gordon. I basically just took Freeman because he plays in the better offense. Shady, he's Shady, man.
I like that.
He's over 50 catches last year, which is great. He had a 5.4 yards per carry last year, which a lot of people don't even like realize how ridiculous that is. He had 1,267 yards for 13 touchdowns, which is great. They just got rid of Sammy Watkins. I mean, this could hurt him by moving the players in the box. But look, man, he's going to get his touches. And you know, if LeSean McCoy's healthy, he's top five running back in the league.
And another guy I think they're going to run to the ground. I talked about this earlier, McDermott. He's run first, play defense kind of guy. And he wants defense on the field as least as possible. And, you know, we think they're actually tanking this year. So, I mean, they got rid of everybody that's good on their offense besides McCoy.
I mean, they got a lot of picks, man.
Yeah, so. But, you know, is this McCoy's last year in Buffalo?
I don't think so. I think, like you said, if he stays healthy, they're just going to ride this guy till he goes down.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no one else. You don't want Tyrod Taylor dropping back passing 500 times. You just got to hope Shady can stay healthy. And if he stays healthy, he's going to be the top three back in the league.
Yeah. I mean, like we said, he's not going to be that good. This team's not going to be that good anyway. But if Tyrod tries to back the ball 500 times...
Yeah, exactly.
They're winning three games.
Yeah, exactly.
Break it too.
So I'll move on to Devontae Freeman. He plays in the NFC's best offense. I mean, this guy is a stud. He showed what he can do on the big stage too in the Super Bowl. This guy's had 1,000 yards and over 50 plus catches in 2 years straight, which is a great stat. I mean, if he has over 50, if this guy's catching 50 balls while running over 1,000 yards, I mean, you got to be happy with that. That offensive line in Atlanta, the top five offensive line. You can't stack the box because you know Julio and Taylor Gabriel will burn you if you stack that box. Melvin Gordon, look, people are worried about his touchdowns being a regression, but he had 54 catches last year as well. Which, I mean, if you're running back getting around these 50 catches, I mean, you got to be happy with that. I know the 11 touchdowns is a lot, but who else is he going to get the ball to on the goal line?
Yeah.
The Chargers.
Yeah, exactly. And we talked about that. I mean, you mentioned it earlier. Phillip Rivers, number six last year in quarterbacks. And because they're playing catch-up 24-7, and they're constantly on the move, they're constantly playing face and prevent defenses, it works in fantasy perspective. Before Keenan Allen was hurt, was it week four?
Yeah.
He was a top-tier receiver. And, you know, Tyrell Williams filled the great void. And I definitely see Melvin coming very close, if not repeating what he did last year.
I'm with you.
He's going to be more involved earlier in the year as opposed to he was last year.
I'm with you.
Before Woodhead went down. As far as Devontae Freeman, do you think the concussion's serious, or do you think it's just a smoke screen to stay out of prison?
I mean, it definitely wasn't a smoke screen. He definitely had something wrong, but you know it's not anything. The team's making it seem like it's not anything concerning, so. Which, I mean, hey, man, if you can't get your hands on Bell, DJ, or Shady, and you're a little afraid of Gordon, touchdown regression, just take Freeman, man. Just take Freeman.
Definitely safe play.
Yeah. I mean, if you're choosing between Freeman and Gordon, I think Freeman is a safe play. He's got the better track record, and he plays in the better offense. So, all right, so 6-7, 6-7, 8. I have Jordan Howard at 6. I have Jay Ajayi at 7. And I'm thinking about dropping Jay Ajayi because of the Tannehill injury, but we'll talk about that in a second. And Gurley at 8.
Now, why would you drop Ajayi because of the Tannehill injury?
Because they're not going to respect Jay Cutler. Everyone knows they're not going to respect Jay Cutler the way they would Tannehill. They're going to be. They know that they're going to want to try to get Jay Ajayi the ball. I don't think Jay Cutler has the tools to make Devontae Parker and Jarvis Landry like what they were last. What Jarvis Landry has been. Devontae Parker was everyone's like third year wide receiver breakout. If Tannehill was healthy, I just don't believe in Jay Cutler. I think they're going to be seeing a lot of stacked boxes. The thing about Ajayi is they've been talking about his catching has gotten a lot better, which, I mean, if they stink, I don't think they're going to be that great. I think they overachieved a little bit last year. I think he's going to catch the ball out of the backfield, even if they're losing. He should catch enough passes to stay fit and see enough carries to stay inside the top 10 as long as he doesn't get hurt. Jordan Howard, I mean, he just catches, man. He catches a lot. It's like the same scenario. Who else are they going to give the ball to there, man? I mean, they got Kevin White, but no one even knows what he can do. They got Cameron Meredith, who is like, he is who he is. He's nothing special. But, I mean, the quarterback's there, man. You think they got to run the ball. You can't throw the ball 1,000 times. Just exaggerating here with, what's his name? With Mike Glennon and Mitch Trubisky and who else is there?
I forget. Is that Barkley over there?
There's somebody else. I forget who it is.
Is that Barkley playing for
the boy in a while? You know he's gonna get the ball there.
And it's crazy because speaking of Jordan Howard, I mean that offensive line is surprisingly sneaky good. I mean I'm looking at 14 yards per carry. I mean but that's something to do with him as well. You know 5.2 yards and only 8th in sacks. You know how bad the quarterback play was. Only 8th in sacks. And top 10 in negative runs. So, a lot of the credit goes to him and the addition of Kyle Long and Josh Sitton. And, but, like you said, are they going to stack the box enough? Or are they not going to respect the passing game enough to where that drops significantly?
Yeah, look, I don't understand. I don't know why you respect it until they prove you otherwise. To come up and say, look, if you stack this box, we're going to go right over the top on you. And until they show that, I think Jordan Howard's going to be seeing a lot of stacked boxes.
Yeah, I don't know. Cameron Meredith was the number 2 wide receiver between week 16 and 17, according to Matthew Berry. So we can't forget that. You know, how can you not respect that?
Such a dumb stat. All right, so next I have Gurley coming in at 8. He got a big O-line upgrade in Whitworth. They brought over the center, Sullivan, from Washington, who's helping install this offense. The weak side they have is that right side, them running. That right side with Haverstein and Brown, that's going to be where they're going to have to stay away from. Expect a lot of runs to the left side. But what also helps Gurley's case this year is, man, that addition of Sammy Watkins, boy, that helps so much, dude. I mean, look, man, Jared Goff had, like, I think the lowest yards per attempt for a rookie quarterback of all time. And I know their O-line isn't one of the best in the league. I think Whitworth helps that. Lance Dunbar was supposed to come in here and play, I guess you can call it the quote-unquote Chris Thompson role from Washington, but they're saying his knee's banged up. Gurley's just there, man. He's there by default to play the third downs too and catch. If he catches, man, he should see enough carries and catches to stay inside that top 10 range. And if his touchdowns spike up, I mean, hey, man, this guy could be what he was 2 years ago for you when he was running wild. for the Rams.
And, you know, I'm a firm believer in the sophomore slump. So, you know, especially bounce back. We've seen it with Doug Martin. Before he had his issues off the field. But especially with Gurley. I mean, they were at rock bottom last year.
Guy.
27th in negative runs. I mean, he was getting the ball and getting hit right away.
Yeah, I mean, I watched every game last year. Some of it was on the offensive line, but there were some holes that Gurley was just missing, man. But if you're getting hit behind the line, you're trying to make something happen, not waiting for something. Like, you're not being patient. Because you're expecting to get the ball and get hit. You're trying to make as much as you can off of what you can. You're
predetermining your cuts.
Yeah, exactly. Because you're like, all right, well, if I try to go this way, there's going to be a guy there, so I might as well try something else.
Exactly. And it was such a cluster. The offense was embarrassing. But lucky for you, you're a McVay believer.
Yeah, McVay.
And no more Fisher ball.
Yeah. So I know you're happy. Yeah, you got to be happy about that, right? You're a
happy fan. until they play week one, at least.
Yeah, and then I'll be screaming at my TV.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so 10, I have Zeke suspended. If he comes back or gets lessons, he'll jump up in my rankings. Now, 11 and 12, I have Ingram, and then I have Marshawn Lynch. Now, Ingram.
Yeah, Lynch really high.
Yeah, I mean.
Oh, I'm low, sorry.
Yeah. Look, AP's 32. He's old. That's all I'm going to say about him. I just don't think he's really got a lot left. Mark Ingram has had over over 45 receptions in two straight years, which is really good. I mean, you'll take that. Like I said, the guys who get around 45, 50 catches are great. I just don't think AP is going to be involved in that pass game. I think everyone knows that. Mark Ingram, he's just good, man. Like, that's all I have to say. He's just good. He plays in the high power offense. There's going to be the opportunities are going to be there. And if he catches the ball, he's going to be right around the top 10 range.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And we're going to discuss that more in the Battle of the Backs, but with him and Beerson. But between you and I think he runs away with that job. And I think not even by week three or four, I mean, Peterson's not going to be seeing five catches. I truly believe that. Because I think Ingram, Ingram isn't, if you have read any articles on Pro Football Talk, he's in beast mode right now.
I mean, dude,
he wants to be up there.
Yeah, I mean, dude, he had a career high year last year in yards and yards per carry. He's 27 years old compared to AP's 32. And like I said, he had the 46 catches last year, and it wasn't like it was a fluke. He had 50 the year before.
Yeah, so and that's something. I mean, you look at a guy like that, and you're like, he doesn't catch the ball.
Yeah, you wouldn't expect 50 catches, 48 close to 50 catches.
100 catches in 2 years, that's pretty impressive for a running back, especially his caliber.
Agreed.
So, and only 205 carries last year, so he's not getting, wasn't getting the full workload, which is kind of a good thing. Just hopefully his touchdowns increase, and he had 10 total. Almost having just as many receiving touchdowns as rushing touchdowns is pretty abnormal for a running back. But, like I said, I think he actually takes the full leap this year. And continues to stay in that top 10 to top 12 as he has, as he did last year.
Agreed. I agree. All right. So, Marshawn, very unknown. Last time the guy played, he's coming off a sports hernia surgery, that's, you don't want to be coming off a surgery last time you played. He hasn't played in, 2 years, has it been?
2 years.
He's 31 years old. I mean, Seattle used him and used him and used him there. The thing he's got going for him is he's got better receivers than he ever had in Seattle with Cooper and Crabtree. It's going to take, I think, a little more pressure off the run game than people think. If Derek Carr has that has another solid year this year, I mean, it just depends how much they're going to give him the ball and how much he can hold up. Like I said, I think personally they get him between like the 200, 250 carries, 225, I said that last week. But I just don't, he's an unknown. I've been saying this for the last couple of weeks. He can win you your league if he's back to old beast mode. But he can also, if you draft him too high and he becomes this guy who just gets lost and they don't commit to, he can lose you the league.
Yeah, and he's, especially where he's fallen under, like we talked about last week. He's that brand name. He's that sexy pick, as Howie Roseman used to say. That sexy pick. But I'm looking at guys around him. I'm looking at Ingram. I'm looking at Gillisley. I'm looking at even, Crowell, Mixon, Ty Montgomery. I mean, it's hard to say that you're taking him you're taking the McLynch over those guys. Especially off the value last year.
Yeah, like you said, everyone's going for that big name guy. They're just hoping that that pick ends up being the pick that wins in the league. Because, like I said, if he can return to that old beast mode, man, you got to steal at that range. You know what I mean? Because the old beast mode would have been going like top five.
Yeah.
So
especially, I mean, it just could be a complete flop. You know, as a third or fourth round pick for you. And some people take him as early as the second round.
Look, man, it's either you think he's worth the risk or he's not. He can win you the league or he can lose it. Like I said, depending if you want to take him that early, it's your choice. I'm going to try to probably stay away from him that early. But if you can get him at a nice range where you're saying, all right, like, this guy shouldn't be here, then grab him. I mean, I'm not going to overdraft. I'm not going to overdraft for him. I'll promise that.
Yeah, I won't be overdraft for him either. So, moving on.
13, 14, 15. I have Lamar Miller, Carlos Hyde, and Leonard Fournette. I know I have Fournette lower than a lot of people do. I just don't trust Bortles at all and that offensive line. I think, like I said, a lot of his value is going to come off of touchdowns, which you never want to rely on touchdowns for anybody. Carlos Hyde has a new offensive coordinator, Kyle Shanahan, or not new OC, new head coach, should I say. Kyle Shanahan, who was great, dude. That man worked wonders in Atlanta with that DeMonte Freeman and Tevin Coleman. Carlos Hyde, he almost hit 1,000 yards last year. He had 988 on 4.6 yards per carry. Only had 27 catches, but that's definitely going to jump with Shanahan, I think. I think it's safe to say.
Yeah. And we talked about this last week as well. But Carlos Hyde, yeah, I'm not a believer.
Yeah, I'm
not a believer. He's in a rookie. I mean, I'm sorry. He's in a contract year. I know that. That's usually a good sign for fantasy running backs. He's usually want to get paid. They usually have their best year. But I'm looking at a team who's playing a top five front seven in Seattle twice a year. Top five in the Rams. Top five in the Cardinals. It's a scary
no quarterback.
It's a scary, scary.
Just a scary decision.
Yeah, at that point in the draft. And I just don't see it, especially when you have guys like even Lamar Miller. Lamar Miller with only, 31 catches last year, less than 200 yards receiving. I mean, he was catching the ball basically getting tapped.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's awful.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's going to increase. I think he gets closer to 50 because I think that offense gets more explosive, especially I think Watson's in that system by week four.
Yeah, there's no way DeAndre Hopkins has the area last year. With Brock's not there.
No, so absolutely not. I mean, Hopkins is on his way.
We talked about Lamar Miller a lot last week. So
we'll move on for that.
Yeah, all right, so 16, 17, I'll just go 16 to 20. I have McCaffrey, Mixon, Dalvin Cook, C.J. Anderson, and Gillisley.
Give us a C.J. and Gillisley because we ran through.
All right. Charles is there. It's a little shaky situation. I do like the way he runs, to be honest, and they do have the receivers in Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. I just don't believe in Simeon and Paxton Lynch. From what I've been reading, is absolutely awful. And Gillisley, I told you what I think last year. He's been hurt with that hamstring, but if he wins that job, he's in the blunt role. You know he's going to have opportunities to score.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, Gillisley could be the steal of the draft.
He could be, yeah. I mean, LeGarrette Blount was a steal of the draft last year. He was going like in the double digit rounds, and he scored 18 TDs. So, all right. So I'll finish up my rankings here. I got 22 Woodhead. I got 23 Bilal Powell. I got 24 Rob Kelly. I got 25 Spencer Ware.
I'm loving Danny Woodhead this year.
Oh man,
I love Danny Woodhead.
Look, he got hurt last year. The year before that, in 2015, he had 80 catches, which is like ridiculous. That's a ridiculous amount of catches. I don't know how much. You got the Kenneth Dixon suspension right now, which is looming over him, which it just clears the way for what had to be the catching back. What's his name? Terrence West.
Yeah.
I don't believe in him. I mean, he had a couple good games last year, but I think Woodhead's going to be used a lot in that offense.
I definitely don't see Woodhead getting like as many carries. Maybe not as Terrence West, but I can definitely see they have plenty of games where the Ravens banned the run plenty of times. I mean, John Harbaugh was banned the run if that's what they have time runs. And they'll let Flacco slung it.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely not afraid to let Thacker sling it, that's for sure. He's never had a guy to sling to. I mean, he's got Macklin now, but who knows what he's going to do.
I'm talking about running back-wise. He's never had
Well, he had Ray Rice, dude.
Yeah, but he's not Woodhead or...
Yeah,
Sproles.
Yeah.
Then he went to, you know, more of a Sproles-esque, you know, theoretical.
Yeah, yeah, so, a little bit slower, but exactly. Yeah, I agree. So, I got Powell at 34. If Forte ends up getting hurt or looks old, they're just going to taste growing and go. Because the Jets, they're winning maybe two games this year. They're not going to win a lot. Powell is that pass catcher. I don't think Forte is even going to be involved by, like, week 8, week 7. Rob Kelly at 24. Perrine's off to a start, but he's another one of these guys who doesn't catch. And that kills his value. Relying on touchdowns for running backs, you just don't want to do it, especially when they just don't catch at all, like Rob Kelly.
Yeah, you're better off kind of even taking a chance on like Theo or Danny.
Exactly.
Just you're going to get, if you get those 5 catches, you're at least getting, you know, you're at least getting 3 or 4 points just out of the catches.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a Rob Kelly believer, but I just don't think they're going to let him catch the ball, which kills his value. 25, Spencer Ware, I mean, they're in a running back battle right now. He scored in the preseason game. That's just something that I think he can maybe give you a couple weeks to start off, and then Kareem Hunt and Charcandre West come in, and then just stay away at all costs. All
right.
So that's it for my running back rankings.
All right. So next week we'll jump into both of ours. It'll be more of a debate next week as far as wide receivers and tight ends. We'll get more into detail with that next week. So next we're going to do our Fool's Gold. Our Fool's Gold for the year. Okay, again, we're going to have this segment every week as far as who's the Fool's Gold, who's the stars that are most likely going to bust in the upcoming week. For example, last year for the year, Hopkins, average ADP.
Huge bust, man.
Average ADP of, I believe it was
6 or 7
PPR.
Yeah.
Gurley as well, top 10.
Yeah.
And also Allen Robinson, who also snake big, your boy, AJ.
Yeah, I kept him last year. He got me good.
So, AJ, I will be a gentleman about this and let you start off the Fool's Gold for the year. I have 2. I believe you have 3.
I have 3 Fool's Gold.
You have 3 Fool's Gold. All right.
I'm going to start off with 1. Demaryius Thomas is my first one.
DT.
Under 10 red zone targets the last 2 years in a row, which is all, which is like where he was excelling.
Under 10?
Yeah. Wow. He had 7 the last 2 years. He had 12 the year. He had 12 in 2014. He had 7 last year, I think 7 the year before, or 7 last year and 7 the year before. Yeah, bad QB play. Look, I know he had 90 catches last year, but he had under 100 for the first time in 3 years. They have the 28th hardest schedule for receivers, which is never what you want to say, especially when your quarterbacks are Trevor Siemian and fucking Paxton Lynch. Sorry for the curse there, guys.
Edit that out.
So no, we won't. We'll be good. So, like I said, I'm just staying away from him this year. I just don't like him at the value we can get. You have to pick him at. Number 2, I have T.Y. Hilton. Lux injury. The 23rd hardest schedule in the league. He had a career high in catches and touchdowns last year. And don't forget that Moncrief went down last year. So that helped skyrocket his value. Moncrief seems to be 100% healthy. So, T.Y., he's not going to repeat what he did last year. If you're drafting him to do that, then I think you're not going to get what expected. You're going to be a little disappointed. And then my 3rd, I have DeMarco Murray. Look, Derrick Henry's there. He's already hurt. It's camp. He's already hurt. He had a second highest carries of his career last year. He just got used, man. He got used a lot. He's not coming off that year with the Eagles where they barely used him. He's not coming in fresh. He's about to turn 30, which is like the running back, beware, 30 years old. Henry was worked a lot towards the end last year. DeMarco Murray only had 20-plus carries in 2 out of his last 8 games.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
that's
which crazy. At one point, where's it at? DeMarco Murray had 20 carries from week 4 to week 8. He had 20 carries in every game. So, I mean, as the year went on, they started using him less and less.
And I'm with you on that. I think Henry takes a big step. And we talk about that with all the rookies. They ease them in. And you usually see the veteran guys wean themselves out. All right, so with my 2, all right, and it's, you know, People may disagree with me with this, but I think Fitz takes a dip this year, and that's not saying much because he's had, as always, a top of his game last year. 107 catches, league leading, 107 catches. Barely broke 1,000 yards, though. 10.25,
yeah.
because his yards per catch was also the fifth lowest at 9.6.
Not a lot of touchdowns either, right?
Not a lot of touchdowns. Six touchdowns. But crazy stat for him. Talk about consistency. How many times do you think he was under 10 points last year in a half-point PPR league?
Five?
Three.
Wow.
All three on the road.
Okay, who were they playing?
All three on the road. I'm looking at Atlanta, which is a little disappointing.
Yeah.
A little disappointing. At Miami, which was a season low, 4.2. Three catches, 12 yards. And it tells you all right there, three catches, 4 yards. It's awful. And then at Seattle, which isn't.
I mean, yeah, you're not expecting much up at Seattle.
Yeah, which was 7.1. But I'm looking at three 20-point games, and all his 20-point games were 25 and up. But he's mainly staying between that 10 to 15 range. And I just don't see it. I see Palmer coming back this year. I see him trying to stretch the field more. I see, obviously, I actually think David Johnson continues to get his 80 catches, 80 to maybe possibly 90 catches this year. But I think they're just going to feed him the rock. And I just see a dip in his production. He's a year older. You know, it's more maybe a hunch because he's consistent. If he's going to continue to get those checkdowns, those Stephon Diggs checkdowns, I like to call, he can definitely get 100 catches, but it's not the sexy pick.
It's just one of these guys that you're just like, all right, there's no way he just keeps doing it.
And if he's floating there and you're looking at guys like Mike Wallace, Pierre Garçon,
you're taking
Mike Crowder, you're taking Mike Fitz. And that's a steal.
Yeah,
absolutely. He's 11th best receiver.
Agreed.
So to finish my fool's gold off, I'm looking at Doug Baldwin. Right. Back-to-back years. Right. He had successful stats as far as fantasy and in pro football. So 94 catches, 1,100 yards, 7 touchdowns. I'm looking at 3 of those games, 30-point games.
Wow.
5 games, half-point PPR, less than 10.4 points.
Yeah.
All right, so that hurts.
Yeah, he's going early this year, too. There's a lot of
hype.
He's
going early. He's a top-12 guy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's getting picked. He's the 11th ranked receiver. And I'm looking at guys, you know, I think Hopkins has a better year than him this year. Cooks is going later.
Yeah, I think Cooks is a monster.
I think Cooks is
a monster. We'll talk more about that next week, guys.
Next week. And even Devontae Adams I can even see Alshon jumping on.
Even Keenan Allen.
Even Keenan Allen jumping on. So I see a definite fall off from him. I mean, you know, it was, again, that was that second half of the year. We talked about Wilson having struggled in the first 8 games of the year. You know, he just got hot at the right moment. If you had him going into the playoffs, it was good. You need those players. But if he's your number one receiver going into the year, it's not working for him.
Yeah,
it's not working for me. I'm not buying it. So I'm moving on. All right, moving on to the final segment of the podcast. We're at the battle of the backs between the Giants and also the Saints. So we're going to start off with the Giants with Paulie Perkins.
Love Paulie P.
And the catch and release specialist, James Green. Straight out of New England, but he's now a New York Giant for the past couple of years. AJ, what are your thoughts on this battle brewing in New York? Who's the more valuable player, Paul Perkins or Shane Vereen?
I'm going to say Shane Vereen here.
Agreed. You go first, buddy.
The offensive line for the Giants is really bad. They like to run a lot of shotgun. They have who's the guy from the tight end from Miami? Joe.
The Giants?
Yeah.
Evan Ingram.
Oh, Evan Ingram. Sorry, that wasn't the same guy I was thinking of. I mean, I know they got Brandon Marshall, Sterling Shepard, Odell. They like to run a lot of shotgun. And when they're in shotgun, Vereen's going to play, man. They had a really tough time getting Paul Perkins going last year. I mean, he averaged 4 yards per carry, but there were some games where he just couldn't get anything going. I think they want to be in love with Perkins. It's one of the situations where they want to be in love with him, but he's just not giving them a reason to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And you know, they're easing them in this year. I mean, he tore his triceps twice last year, limited him to 5 games. And, you know, he was running first team reps. He was running first team reps for Vereen. And especially in PPR league, you gotta love, especially with that offense, they're gonna throw the ball.
Yeah,
they're gonna throw the ball, and it's pretty obvious.
I think they trust Shane Vereen a little bit more in pass protection, too, than they would Paul Perkins.
Yeah. And this is a direct quote from ESPN's Jordan Rannan. Remains a big part of Giants' plans this season. And I think that holds more water than what they were saying about Duke Johnson being, you know, part of Browns.
Yeah, yeah.
And they really liked Vereen, especially when they brought him in last year.
Yeah, he was doing pretty good before he got hurt. So.
Yeah, I'm loving the guy this year. He's turning on. He's a point to prove. And we talked a little bit about the Saints battle brewing with Ingram versus Peterson. And we both seem to be on the Ingram train.
Yeah, look, AP's 32. He's coming off an injury. He hasn't had 30 catches in 4-plus years. And last year in 3 games, he had a 1.9 yards per carry, which is just terrible. I mean, I don't want to go as far as
saying... And they won all 3 of them games.
Yeah, look, I don't want to go as far as saying AP's done, but he's done.
Not with you. I don't think Peterson holds any significance fantasy-wise this year. And it's a brand name at, what, 32 years old?
Yeah, 32.
32 years old.
Yeah. Ingram's only 27.
Ingram's only 27. Ingram's hungry. And Ingram wants to put himself up with the Le'Veons, with the David Johnsons he's already talked about.
Hey, and Ingram played all 16 last year.
Ingram all played 16. Yeah. And that's a huge,
huge deciding
factor.
Yeah, man.
Especially not even
you need
just
guys
the
on the field.
General. Yeah, you need the guys on the field. And they're going to be slinging it. Breeze is running out of time.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've never really been the most consistent running team as far as someone to run.
The only thing I'm worried about between them two is who's going to get the goal line carries. If Ingram's not getting the goal line carries and AP is, then stay away from both.
Yeah.
I mean, you could play AP if you want on like certain matchups, but I'm staying away from AP. I'm drafting Ingram.
They're the toughest situations. I mean, you were in one last year with Blau and Matt Forte. Not knowing who to start. It's a guessing game.
Yeah.
And it's hard.
Yeah, I mean,
and you try to stay, just keep yourself out of those situations, just like you said, try to keep yourself out of bad quarterback situations, especially with running games.
Yep, agreed.
So, with that being said, all right, that wraps up the episode 2 of Your Fantasy Fools with AJ Ferrale and Jim McCabe. Thank you again, guys. This is, again, episode 2. You can find us on Facebook at Fantasy Fools. It's a group. You can, you know, share, subscribe, like. Please do all 3. Also, at our Twitter handle, fantasy_fools. Feel free to tweet us any questions, any concerns, maybe advice, maybe anything you guys want to see on the next show. Again, 2 weeks will be our college segment. It'll be on Tuesday.
We're shooting for Tuesday.
We're going to shoot for Tuesday. Yeah, we're hoping for Tuesday because we're going to do it before the games with Tommy Teaser.
Yeah.
Tommy Teaser's making an appearance in 2 weeks. You want to meet that guy because he knows what he's doing. That's all I have to say about that. All right. And you can find him at fantasy_fools_gambler. All right. So feel free to follow him as well for picks all year. All right. Thanks again, guys. And we'll see you next week.